Today, can you imagine just for a moment, I was thinking about the message. Am I blowing y'all out of here? I seem really loud. Brother Jesse, cut me down. There you go. If that was loud, wait till I start preaching. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Amen. 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 Bless her, Lord. Amen. 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 Don't let me get in the way of the Holy Spirit. I was thinking about the message that Brother Matthew preached here on Wednesday evening, the last night of our revival, about Abraham taking Isaac up on the top of the mount that he would show him of. And I can't help but think, whenever it was all said and done, he said, "What a day." You know, what a day. And I was thinking, I started to ask Brother Scott. I didn't. I just didn't feel that led. I want to ask a song if I feel so led, but I wanted to ask Scott to sing that song, "That's My God." Because I can see Abraham, whenever Isaac asked the question, "I see the wood and I see the fire and I see the altar, but where is the sacrifice?" And then he said, "My God shall provide himself a sacrifice." And then he heard his name twice mentioned, Abraham. And he turned and he saw the ram caught in the thicket by his horns. I can't help but think that he might have thought, "That's my God providing yet again." And the same as he provided a ram in the thicket of Abraham, he has provided a lamb for each one of us that was willing to humble ourselves. We'll be in the book of Genesis to start with. I'll read a passage of scripture. Then we're going over to the book of Matthew today, chapter 24. And just try to mind the Lord this morning. It's good to see each and every one of you out. We're out about 125 to 150 people this morning, but that's all right. There's several people this morning that were without power, and we lost ours just as we were leaving. And there's many people contacted me this morning and said, "Just pray for us. We can't make it. The roads are fine, but we just can't get ready. The water's cold, and we're cold, and there's no power." And I understand that, but it's so good to see also that we picked up some visitors from other churches. If you're here and you're a visitor, then I trust the Lord has made you welcome. I want to preach a message this morning. I preached a message a long time ago about how to live holy in an unholy land. Well, today that same thought process is kind of going back in my mind. How can we live godly in an ungodly world, or that kind of thing? But I asked Brother Lewis, and I don't know if there's anybody. Does anybody here sing the old Ship of Zion as an a cappella or sing it as a solo? Gary, you any of y'all do that? Angie, you don't sing, do you? You don't sing Old Ship of Zion. Anybody sing that song? Well, just listen as I try to read the words this morning, because I want to think just a little bit about Zion. There is no physical ship called Zion. We know we had an ark that saved Noah and the eight of his household, and we know that there was an ark of the covenant, and we know also that Christ is a type of the ark. And if you're not within the ark of God's safety, the ark of grace, you're not going to heaven. The same as if you didn't get on the ark in which Noah built, you were not survived past the flood. You did not make it through that judgment of God. And I want to make it through the judgment of God. I'm trusting in the promise of God. I'm not trusting in some prayer that I prayed. And I hope that you're not. It's the prayer that got me saved. It's the faith that got you saved. When you stepped out on faith to get saved, that's how you got saved. If we got saved by the words that we uttered or muttered, I don't even know what I said. The only thing I know is I was there when it happened, and I'm just going to trust the promise of God. I'm not going to trust my prayer. I'm going to trust His promise. But when I stepped out to get saved, I truly believe that the transformation, I believe this salvation experience happened when I stepped out to come forward. I believe that in my heart. You ask the blind man in the Bible. There's a whole chapter dedicated to him. Who did sin that this man was born blind? Or that who sinned that this man was blind? And then how did he get his sight? And kept going back and forth and back and forth. The old blind man basically just up and said, I don't know how it all happened. All I know was I was blind, but now I see. Now that's the way probably all of our collective experience of salvation was. We don't know exactly what happened, but we know something happened. Because I'm not the same man. Brother James Michael, you're not the same man anymore. The old man is dead, and you are now a new creature in Christ Jesus. And that's the way that it is. But as we look at this, I want you to think about this place called Zion for just a minute. And I want you to think about the old ship of Zion, because I want to get you in a mindset to think about the Ark of God. I want you to think about the safety of God, the protection of God, the promises of God. I want you to think about all that. The Zion is a physical place, and if you were to search it out, it's a place south of the temple. It's a hill in Jerusalem, but it also, in many places in the Bible, over 150 places, it's mentioned or referenced as being Zion, S-I-O-N, or Zion, and there's many places referenced to as a people of God. And we got into this, and I started reading this. By definition, Zion means fortification. It also meant fortified or defended, or it also meant raised up, being a place that was elevated. And that was the hill called Zion. But also, when I got to thinking about it, back in the year of 1889, there was a man by the name of M.J. I wrote his name down somewhere because I wanted to bring him in. I don't even know why I had his name. I guess it wasn't important who he was. I've left that piece of paper at home. M.J. somebody wrote the song, Old Ship of Zion. I thought maybe I'd penciled it. I'm looking. But anyway, if you also, gosh, you should have had his stuff together. Y'all get up here for about 3 minutes and then we'll talk after the service. But anyway, he wrote the song, The Old Ship of Zion. And as I was looking at that, I want you to think about that because it's going to really work right into the message today. The Old Ship of Zion, it starts out. It said, I was standing on the banks of a river, looking out over life's troubled sea, when I saw an old ship that was sailing. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? Its hull was bent and battered from the storms of life I could see. Waves were rough, but that old ship kept sailing. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? At the stern of the ship was the captain. I could hear as he called out my name. Get on board. It's the old ship of Zion. And it will never pass this way again. As I stepped on board, I'll be leaving all my troubles and trials behind. I'll be safe with Jesus, the captain, sailing out on the old ship of Zion. Now, I read that because as I read our scriptures today, I do want you to see that we are living in a time that is filled with troubles and trials. The songwriter said that he will be leaving behind all of his troubles and trials. And let me tell you, we're living in a troublesome world. The Bible tells us that in the last days, it would be like it was in the days of Noe, spelled N-O-E in the New Testament. But as it were in the days of Noe, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And we know that God's going to send his darling son back one day. He's going to step out of a cloud, going to call us home. And then 7 years later, there'll come a physical coming back, or a second coming, if you will, to this earth to set up a kingdom. He's not here yet, but he's here in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's what we just trust to. That's what we hang on to. But Brother Tam, had it not been for this little remnant, had it not been for those of you what you're here today that are saved by the grace of God, and all over the world dots these little places of worship, let me tell you, if it weren't for that remnant, what kind of a mess would this place be in? It's bad enough as it is, but what kind of a world would we live in if it were totally devoid, Brother Tam, of the Holy Spirit of God? I don't want to be here, and I will tell you this, upon the authority of God's word, I won't be here. Why? Because I'm going somewhere, just hang with me. Because in the first three chapters of the book of the Revelation, you see distinct ages, and you see distinct churches, and you see distinct messengers sent to those churches, but you see one common person, and that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, given unto John the letters that he would pen down. But after chapter number 3, when the last church age, being Laodicea, is sealed up and written up, the Bible says in chapter number 4 and verse number 1, after this. What are those two words referring to? I believe they're referring to what he mentions in the latter part of the scriptures, in that the Holy Spirit of God is going away. Those seven churches were addressed, and then at that calling away or the rapture of the church, bless God, we're out of here. And if you will, Brother Tim, we cross over Chile Jordan. All these are kind of metaphors, or they're allegories about getting us to a place called heaven. And I don't care how you look at it, Brother Tim, we're getting on an old ship of Zion. We are crossing old Chile Jordan. We will safely enter that ark, which is Christ and the grace of God through Jesus Christ and the cross of Christ. So as we look at this today, I want you to think about this. Where am I? Who am I? And where am I in the great big economy of God? You say, well, right now we're at 1624 Pads Road. I don't care where you're sitting, Brother John. You're on the, to be more specifically, you're 9 foot from the wall on the left-hand side of the church, looking toward the pulpit, about 4 foot from the altar, and you're sitting on the front pew at Calvary Baptist Church at 1624 Pads Road in the great state of North Carolina, in the city of North Wilkesboro, the county of Will. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, where are you in the economy of God? Are you saved? Are you lost? Are you here today by the providence of God that he's brought you to this place to hear from heaven that you might get on board that old ship, that you might safely be able to sail home? I'm on it. I'm going. I'm glad my wife's saved. I'm glad my family's saved. But my friends, I'm not satisfied. Brother Jody shall be satisfied because me and my family saved. Oh, Beth saved. Jesse saved. Praise the Lord. Chelsea saved. And Jamie saved. Bless God, we're all going home. No, he shouldn't be satisfied with that. Are you satisfied because you and Miss Shirley are saved and Bub and Lisa are saved? That shouldn't satisfy you. You're a preacher of the cross. Bless God, we ought not be satisfied that the whole world's saved. You said that ain't going to happen. That's why we don't ever have a place to sit down. Nowhere to back up. I want to invite you to stand reverence the reading of God's word today. I could preach a whole message on this, never even open the Bible. But in the book of Genesis, we'll go to chapter number 6, I believe is where we'll start out this morning. Just a little bit. A background. It's found in the first few verses here of chapter number 6 of the book of Genesis. Brother Chris asked me last night, and if you haven't heard yet, Bryant and Catherine announced that they're having a baby girl. Some of you may not know that. And I'm trying to convince them to name it Marquetta after the pastor. I just think that's got a good ring to it, Marquetta Matherly. And we're going to work on that for the next few months. So we got a few months to convince him that Marquetta is a great name. What, Chris? Christina. No, they're not named after Chris. What'd you say? Genesis chapter number 1, they're not Tammy, Tamela, right? Yeah. It came to pass when the men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and looked upon and took them wives of all that they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of man came into the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Now listen at verse number 5, and listen to it through verse number 8. The Bible said that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his spirit. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You're already standing. Let's read our scripture in 24 of Matthew. It's such a powerful scripture, and it goes right together with what I just read, that I believe if we'll just stand for that little brief time for you to find Matthew 24. For those still struggling, it's the first book in your New Testament. It's the book of Matthew, chapter number 24. Flip it over toward the end of that book. Everybody there? Say amen if you found your place. In verse number 36 of that 24th verse, the Bible said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my father only. Let me say this. Cindy and I made a home visit yesterday to an elderly couple that are dear in our hearts. And during the course of the conversation, while we were talking with that elderly couple, we have a mutual acquaintance between the two of us and between the two of them that watches TV preachers. Now listen to me, if you've got some great TV preacher that you watch and you listen to, and he's doctrinally true and squared up with what God would be, then watch him. But there is so much danger out there. I'm honest with you. There is so much danger out there that this man in a conversation came up that he believes that the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the scriptures, is coming back in 5 months. And how did he find that out? He found that out through somebody that told him from a TV station. Now, my friends, that's dangerous because the Bible says this right here. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. What does that mean, Miss Jan? Even the Lord Jesus Christ does not know the day that he's coming back to set up his kingdom on this earth. He doesn't know that. So anyway, if anybody tells you that he's coming back on a certain date, write that man off as a heretic. Write him off as a liar. Write him off as a false prophet. Write him off as whatever you want to write him up. But do not believe him, please. Get in the Bible and search this thing out for yourself. And I understand that in some denominations of belief that they discourage you from reading your Bible. Catholicism is one. They do not want you reading the Bible. They don't think that the Bible is open for your interpretation. It has to be spiritually discerned. Therefore, it must come through a bishop or a cardinal or the Pope or somebody. Let me tell you, bless God, it can be spiritually discerned. And if you're saved by God's grace, then what lives inside of you? You are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. He is in you and you are in him. So get along with God, get you a copy of that book, and he'll tell you these things for yourself. You won't have to take it from the pastor, from a visiting preacher. You won't have to take it from some TV evangelist. But anyway, as it is, let's get that verse again. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as it is in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came. Now I want you to hear that. And knew not until the flood came. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There shall be two in the field, and one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the meal, and the one be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doeth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and he would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready for such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. I'm going to ask Brother Jody Phillips if he'll bless our scripture reading, and then we're going to just keep on preaching here for just a few minutes. As you're being seated, the Bible said that in the latter time and before the Lord comes back, that it would be as it were in the days of Noah. So would it not suffice us a good thing to study and find out how it were in the days of Noah? I believe that it would. And if you look at this, it said that as in verse number 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So we go back into chapter number 6 of the book of Genesis, and then we look and see what was going on just before the flood came. We know that Noah, according to the book of Hebrews, and I'll flip over there and read it, and also in the book of 2 Peter, it says these words, that Noah was a preacher of righteousness unto the saving of, thank you, Preston, unto the saving of 8 souls. The Bible said that if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down unto hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. In the book of Hebrews 11, in verse number 7, it said, by faith, being warned of God of the things not seen as of yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir to the righteous, which was by faith. So if we're going to look at that this morning, if we're going to find out, the Lord said before he comes back, and before he calls his bride away, Brother John, that it was going to get just like it were in the days of Noah. anyway. So we go back to the book of Genesis in chapter number 6, and we find out what was going on, that what was taking place in the world that we might see today. I'm going to tell you what, there was a great decline socially, and you're going to hear this repeated throughout this message today. You say, what do you mean, decline in social? Brother John, you, my friend, are the oddball out. You're the odd man out anymore. If you don't support transgenderism, if you don't support bisexuality, homosexuality, bestiality, and you don't support all of those, that just a few short years ago, Brother Tam, the only place you would find transgenderism would be in a book called Abnormal Psychology. That's where you would find that junk at. But anymore, because of political correctness and social pressures, we are told, Brother John, just because a man wants to deform his body and take on the shape of that of another gender, he can do that. And it was even teased last night. Brother Chris, we were teasing over there at Catherine's gender reveal party that we might have to just step back and wait for about 5 or 6 years and let that little young'un decide what it wants to be. Now listen, we were doing that in jest. We were doing that as a mockery because that's the society we live in. There are people that are saying today, Brother Jody, that that child can be whatever it wants to be. It can be whatever it wants to be in the Lord. It can become a great evangelist. It can become a great teacher or singer, whatever the gift or talent might be. But bless God, it's first going to have to go by Calvary. And if it goes by the cross of Christ, it'll get saved and it won't become something that it's not. It never was and never will be. Bruce Jenner will stand before God as Bruce Jenner. He will not stand there as Caitlin. I don't care how you mutilate your body or deform your body or take testosterone or estrogen to the other side. Brother John, you're not changing. You're going to stand before God as who you are. You're going to stand there as John Shumate. And the Bible said, as it were in the days of Noah. I mean, can you imagine the social pressures that that man was facing? He was telling them to live godly, live holy. You say, wait a minute, they didn't have the scripture. Bless God, they still trusted God because the Bible said that Noah found grace, what? In the eyes of humanity? Did he find it in the eyes of society? Did he find it in some tree? And the Church of Scientology was finally born. And Noah just, he hugged a tree. And bless God, he said, I'm going to cut you down, Mr. Tree, and I'm going to make a boat out of you. No, bless God, he found grace in the eyes of God. And when he found grace in the eyes of God, God not only gave him the dimensions or the blueprint to do it, Brother John, he provided him the labor to do it with. Bless God, he grew the trees and everything that he did. It just cried out that God was wanting to save humanity. And old Noah just kept on preaching year after year. I can imagine about one decade in. Brother Kenny, you pastored for nearly 40 years. The first 10 were one thing. The second 10, you finally found the running place. 20 years in, you're running strong. 30 years in, you're starting to get tired. Can you imagine old Noah, Brother Tam, about 50 years into that, 60 years in, the only people listening, Brother Kippy, is his own family. The only people walking by him are wagging their heads and are mocking him. Brother Jody, that's what people's looking at us today. They're thinking we're crazy, brother. Well, leave me alone. Bless God, I enjoy my insanity. I do. I enjoy being crazy, Brother Danny. You're shaking your head because you're just as crazy as I am. You believe that there was a man by the name of Jesus Christ. He was conceived of a virgin as the Holy Ghost moved upon her. And bless God, he birthed that child in a place called Bethlehem. And bless God, according to the old scriptures, that was prophecy fulfilled, Brother Scott. And that he grew up. I mean, bless God, the child grew up, never sinned at all. I mean, there was no guile in him, no lie. He didn't pick his nose and he didn't do the things that kids do. There was no sin in him, Brother Tam. That child was perfect in every way, fashion. I believe that. Astonishing people at the age of 12, teaching them in the temple, the theologians, the doctors of their day, the wise men, if you would, sitting around talking about the matters that be of the law. And here comes this 12-year-old child. Have I got a 12-year-old child in here today? I got one. Stand up right there, Duncan. A Duncan Grayson-aged child by the name of Jesus. Sitting right in the midst of these, you can sit down, Duncan, right in the midst of all these knowledgeable people. And they're looking at him, asking him questions, Brother John. I'm talking about the deep matters of the law. And he's just sitting there rattling them off, just answering their questions just like that. You say, well, how could he do that? Because he was the Word. He knows the Word because he was the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That, he was the Word. He knew the Word because that was him. But Brother Scott, there's going to be a great decline socially. You're an outcast. My friends, whether you believe it or not, you're a square peg in a round world, or you're a round peg in a square world, whatever way you want to look at it. You just don't quite fit in. There's a reason that Abraham said that he felt like a pilgrim and a stranger down here. He's a pilgrim because this is not his home. He's on a journey. But bless God, he just felt like a stranger because he just didn't quite fit in. You ever feel like you don't fit in anymore? Well, I feel that way. Cindy and I, we went to the mall the other night. Jake had a pair of jeans he got for Christmas. We wanted to exchange them. We all went over there. It's a perfect opportunity one evening to meet Mar and Preston for supper. We all packed up, went over like a band of gypsies. We ended up in the mall. I'm sitting on a bench watching the world go by. Cindy comes out of Bath and Body Works, and she sits on the bench beside me. We saw green hair and yellow hair. We saw somebody went by. They must have been hungry because they took their plate with them. You said, where was their plate? It was in their ears. Boy, had saucers. Now, if you're here and you've got those, bless God, so be it. Stick your finger in it. Do whatever you want to with it. I was always told if I come in one of them, I'm going to have a V right there. They're going to rip it out by the root. I never come in with one. I didn't want to test him. I'd seen him do other things, and I knew what he was capable of. But we saw some that, being honest, I didn't know if it was a boy or a girl. I didn't know if it was male or female, I just didn't know. It's nothing to me because, Brother Tam, I'm not related to them. But boy, it sure made me wonder, what have we become as a society? And how did I become the weird one? I'm honest with you, Brother Tam. I don't have any piercings. I'm way behind. I don't have any tattoos. I don't have any, I've not cut off any body parts. I'm just me. I was born a male, I'll die a male, I'm not transgendering into anything else. And I looked at Miss Senya, what have we become? What are we? What is that? But if you look at that with a curious eye, like, what is that? You're the bad one. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? I'm nobody but a sinner saved by grace. Set apart to do a calling in that he counted me faithful, putting me. I didn't choose this. I promise you, I did not choose this. The Bible said he counted me faithful, putting me into the gospel ministry. This was God's choosing. So you say, who are you? Bless God, I'm one, Brother Scott, that tries to get a hold of God and rightly divide the scripture to warn other people that, bless God, there is a judgment coming. Next time that's by fire and not by flood. And it's going to happen whether we choose to believe it or not. So you're going to see a great decline. I mean, pressure's on us to accept that stuff. And it's only going to get worse, as you know, that this now abnormal considered normal. Did the Bible not say, Brother Kenny, that they would call good evil, evil good? Yeah, the Bible said all that. So here we are in the late day of 2019. Everything goes. Not only is the world declining socially, it almost seems to be thriving sinfully. Do you realize that just a few years ago, North Carolina, specifically Wilkes County, was one of the last bastions of holdout against the lottery? Now, I'm not preaching against the lottery right now, except to say this, it is a type of gambling. And I do know that they gambled at the feet of the cross, trying to get the seamless robe of my Savior. But do you realize that that gambling in casinos and all of the stuff, that's nothing more than a vice for greater sins? I have never been in a casino, but I can't imagine, Brother Tam, that they would erect a great big casino and have Bibles laying around. No, they have bars in them. And not only do they have bars, what's a bar supporting? What are they providing? Alcohol. What are they doing? They're getting people inebriated, trying to get them under the influence of alcohol. Why? Because they got a pocket full of money and they want that money into their coffers' pockets. So what do? They get you blitzed and drunk, and then you lose all of inhibition and you lose the ability to reason and rightly think. And next thing you know, you just lost all your kids' inheritance, your savings, and everything else you got. Don't tell me that we're not thriving sinfully. The cities that are thriving like that, Brother Scott, are the ones that have put a stamp of approval on sin. You know, here in our own county, we took an ad out to try to stop this ABC store. We paid for that. Tried to take a stand. We did our little part, but they did it anyway. We have voted against things, Brother John. I remember Brother Tam at one polling place and this one at that one. Jody, y'all were all here. We had every polling place in Wilkes County locked up about the marriage amendment. We wanted to make sure that we sustained Wilkes County on the map as being a place that supported one man, one woman marriage. I worked the polling place for 12 or 13 hours that day. My wife and I were out there just trying to get the word out. We were on every, I was over at Knoxville Fire Department, so where we were at. Brother Tim, what happened? We know what happened. It passed. I mean, the state of North Carolina said, we don't support that. We don't support that junk. So we find one liberal on the other side of the state, up and around Asheville, North Carolina, that says, with a stroke of a pen, we're going to accept it. So one pen nullifies the vote and the voice of all of us people. Don't tell me we're not corrupt. If we were an apple, Brother Lewis, we would be rotten right in the very middle of the core. So we're sin is socially, we're declining sinfully, we're thriving. We're going to keep looking. Churches today, and anybody see that thing on the news recently? That there was a pastor by the name of Andy somebody that he's one of the biggest mega churches in America now that Brother Chris started shaking his head. You know where I'm going with that. What did he say, Brother Chris? The Old Testament's no longer valid. It was out there, Brother John. He said the Ten Commandments are no longer relevant. He comes out, he's pastoring a church with 30,000 people in it, and he's telling people that the Ten Commandments are no longer relevant. What part of that is wrong? Every part of that's wrong, Brother John. And if, bless God, spiritually, we start dying on the vine, and you've got heretics and liars and false prophets rising up to the pulpits telling people that it's okay. That's how it was in the days of Noah. They looked at him. They scoffed at him. They mocked old Noah. He's out there a-hammering and a-preaching and a-driving pegs and a-preaching and gritting his family in and a-preaching. And Brother Jody, what are they doing? They're just laughing at him, mocking him. Ain't never done that before. It ain't never rained like that before. Your tank's going to come down and up. But by that time, Brother Jody, the mist comes up and waters the ground. He's telling them the heavens are going to open up. Going to come a great deluge of water, and from beneath the fountains below are going to burst open. This place is going to flood out. Really? Oh, man, you really believe that? I can't imagine the ridicule and the mockery that that man went through. We keep going. Because of all these things, there's going to come sudden destruction. Are you saved today? If you're saved today, bless God, then you're safe from that destruction. Go back into the scriptures in Genesis chapter number 6. The Bible said, "And God saw," in verse number 5, "God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth." It wasn't just that the wickedness was great. But what's that second part say? That the, what? The imaginations of their heart, Brother John, they're still thinking up more things. Is that not where? That's the progressive movement we're looking at. They're never satisfied. They're going to move the mantle. They're going to move the bar a little bit further. Brother Tim, that scares me, because what's Sidney Oakland going to see? Huh? What's that youngin' going to see? What's your niece going to see, Brother Chris? How much has it changed since you've been alive? How much has it changed, Brother Steve, in your 55, 60 years? It's changed tremendously. How much more is it going to change, Brother Jody, in our short lifespan before we finally go on to our heavenly reward, be it tomorrow, next month, or next year, 20 years from now? It's changing, brother. So what's the answer? Bless God, if you've got access to a Bible, start reading it. If you go to an old Holy Ghost, heaven-sent Baptist church somewhere that preaches the gospel, preaches it right, it holds up the old bloodstained banner as the final authority, Brother John, that's it. It ain't my humble opinion. It's not your humble opinion. Bless God, it is the word of God, plus or minus nothing. Then you need to support that work. You need to go there. You need to hold up that banner. You need to support that work. Let's look into this thing. Verse number 8 is where I landed. It said, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." If you found grace in the eyes of the Lord, say amen. 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 If you have found grace in the eyes of the Lord, you should say amen. You should bask in that. You should hope in that. You should trust in that. Why? Because salvation is not yours. Salvation is of the Lord. If you don't believe that, read David's cry in the 51st division of Psalm. David, Brother Chad, is bawling out unto Almighty God. He said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." And he goes right through that scripture, Brother Crea. And he said, "Lord, would you restore unto me the joy of my salvation?" No. He said, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Salvation is of the Lord. And my friends, whenever the Bible said that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, then we ought to know where grace comes from. And we ought to hold on to that, Brother Scott. Bless God, you didn't save yourself, my friend. You can't keep yourself saved. You better hang on to that grace. So let's look just a real quick thing down through here. What happened? So Noah built a boat. Look down in verse number 14. God said unto him in 13, he said, the end of all flesh has come before me in the earth. It's filled with violence. Do we see any violence? Hello? We see any violence? We see any immorality? We see any problems out there? I think if you open your eyes, you will. And he said, because of this, in the latter part of verse number 13, I will destroy them with the earth. But look at this. He gives old Noah a blueprint. He gives him a design. He said, Noah, I want you to make an ark of gopher wood. Do you realize that that ark was driven by God? Do you realize that the Bible said that the wind bloweth where it listeth? Right. Is that right or wrong? Amen. That thing does not have a sail on it. Right. He did not say put a rudder on the back. He said you build it to build it to my specs. You build it this wide, this long. I've not been to the one that the man built up in Ohio or Kentucky, wherever they say that thing's amazing. Y'all been up there. Some of y'all have. They say that thing is awesome. It's unreal. I'd like to go sometime and maybe I'll go with the senior group or take the youth up there. Maybe Cindy and I'll take off and go up there. I don't know, but I'd like to see that thing, because I can't hardly even fathom in my mind God giving a man the exact number of cubits, the exact number of breadth and depth and height, the number of stalls and rooms and hay troughs and everything, and telling him in the Word of God, but he didn't give him a way to maneuver the thing. Yes, how about that? Why? Because Noah's not doing the saving. Amen. Noah's not doing the driving. Amen. Noah's not guiding that boat. Noah doesn't have a sail that he can push the rudder. He doesn't have a way that he can turn the sail. The wind blows where it is. God's going to do what God's going to do. The Holy Spirit does the work. And when he got him in there, he let that thing rest on Mount Ararat. Guess what? The picture of all that is in Christ Jesus right there. Even as he provided him the blueprint, bless God, he provided us his begotten Son. Amen. Even as he said, I'm going to give you rest upon this mount. Guess what? He's going to give us rest upon that mount. Why? Because the mount of Zion, where the temple of David will be erected, up on Mount Zion. That temple hill. That's where he'll rule and reign, Brother Scott. We've got rest in him as God's children. It's all in here, my friends. I'm going to close this thing down here just a few short minutes. So how can we live godly in an ungodly world? You can do what Noah did. Trust God. Amen. Is he trustworthy? Amen. If he's not trustworthy and he's not trustable, then what are you going to trust in? What can you trust if you cannot trust him? I'm telling you, my friends, you can trust the Savior. Amen. You can trust the Scriptures. Amen. Did the Bible not say, Brother John, that these things are forever settled in heaven? There's nothing new. No new thing to understand. Don't come out and believe this. Around Easter every year, they come out with another gospel. Just a few short years ago, they come out with a gospel according to Judas. That was the biggest heresy I'd ever heard of. I didn't get it and read it. I don't want to preach something from the gospel of Judas. Believe me. I don't read the books that were considered uncanonical. I don't read those books of the Apocrypha. They're historical in context. And if you read them, they were part of the original 1611 version of the Bible. They were there. The book of Esdras and Maccabees and these other versions. John, I don't read them. I'm afraid that I would start preaching something that's out of the book of the Apocrypha rather than out of the canon of the Scriptures, which is the King James Bible. And I don't want to do that because I don't want to confuse anybody. Read it for yourself, but brother, it's all settled right there. There's no new doctrine. Amen. There's nothing new to be exposed. The Bible says, and Brother Chris, we're talking about this. The Bible says that the Scriptures are no private interpretation. So don't say some man got along with God and got a new revelation. They're not of any private interpretation. So you can trust the Savior, you can trust the Scriptures, and you can trust His salvation, because as I said, it is His. Salvation is of the Lord. Just a couple quick things. Do you realize that Noah faced pressures? Do you realize you're going to face pressures? Do you realize that even in the coming day, there's missionaries still being slaughtered on foreign fields? You better believe they are. Do you realize overseas, Brother John, in some of those communistic countries are still burning churches down? Whenever they rat out a Christian, maybe a home dwelling, maybe it's a home church, what do? They capture the people and they punish them. They burn their little church down. It's all over the world like that, and the United States is not too far removed from it. You do know that we've got a couple Muslims now serving in our house. Hello? Sworn in on the Quran. Hello? 2001, Muslims tear down our buildings in the name of Allah, and now we're putting them into the places that write laws. the halls of Congress, Brother Tim, is where our laws come from. Brother John, they're adjudicated by the Supreme Court, but they're written there in that house. And we're putting Muslims in there. Huh? My goodness. Do they follow Jesus Christ and his teachings? Do they follow God, Jehovah God? No. They follow the teachings of a man by the name of Muhammad. My friends, America is in trouble. You can sit back and say, oh, she's all right. We'll make it through this thing. We're going to make it by the grace of God. But I wonder about Brooklyn. I wonder about Savannah. I wonder about Sydney. I wonder about Macy and Mara. And I wonder about these children. I really do. Brother Chris, they're going to see some stuff. And they're going to see it right quickly. You say, preacher, well, how in the world did Noah manage to live right in a world gone wrong? He did what you're going to do. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah had the right salvation. Noah had high standards. He had the right spirit about him. As we kept looking through that thing, and I'm not going to get over in there because we say, you're saying, well, Noah was a perfect man. No, Noah messed up sorely. You read right beyond where the ark landed. Noah gets off and builds him an altar. You look what happens. What happens? Alcohol, incest, sin, right on the other side of the ark. But Brother Tam, I'm glad that when we're delivered, unlike Noah, Brother John, we're going to a place where there ain't going to be no more of that. Amen. We're not going to have that chance to slip up anymore because man's propensity to sin is ever great. It's ever before us. You say, well, how am I going to live godly in an ungodly world? You keep doing what you're doing. Brother Jody, stay close to the cross. Go to church. I mean, go often. Read your Bible. Have private study time. Do like Daniel did. Have a public acknowledgement of God. The Bible said that Daniel did as he had aforetime, as he did before. He threw his windows open and he just kept praying. Three times a day he prayed. But don't just do it publicly. Do it privately. Get in or into your closet and pray in secret and let the Lord then reward you openly. Miss Macy would come. Brother Scott would come. I want to ask you, Brother Charles, how are you going to live godly in an ungodly world? The Bible tells us, as it were, in the days of Noah, so shall it be. Brother Kenny, it's wicked. I've got it's an app on my phone. I've got every kind of app you can put on there, I guess, concerning programming. I've got sermon audio and all these different things. But I've got one on there, Brother John, that lets me watch TV from afar. I can get Al Jazeera TV from Saudi Arabia. I can get this crazy stuff from around the world. And you know what? This world, Brother J.D., hates America. You turn that stuff on there sometime, and what it'll do, it'll put the closed caption in the English translation onto the bottom of that thing. I don't know if it's called Pluto or one of those TV stations I've got on my tablet and my phone. Damn, they hate America. Do you know why they hate America? Is it because of our prosperity? Is it because of our great wealth? Is it because of capitalism? Is it because, brother, we found this great oil shale out in the Dakota region, and now they're piping that oil shale down and to the refineries in Texas? Are they hating us because of that? Are they hating us because we bought the Louisiana Purchase, or because we picked up Alaska and Hawaii for a bid? Are they mad at us for that, Brother Kenny? They're not mad at us for any of that. They're not mad at us because we've got a Statue of Liberty up at Ellis Island up there, Brother John. They're not mad at us for that. They don't hate us for that. They do not hate us for any reason other than this, Brother Tam. We were founded upon Judean Christian values and principles. We as a whole, as a nation, we put it into our moral code, into our everything we've got. They put it at the Supreme Court, Brother John. It's everywhere up there that in God we trust. It's the national motto. We put it on our money. You can say, well, we're not a Christian nation. We're far from it. But that's what we were founded upon. And that's why they hate us. Brother John, a lot of times you hear people say we're separatists. No, we're not. We didn't separate from the Catholic Church. You say, well, we're separatists, but we're not Protestants. You know, we're not protesting against Mother Eve. Well, Scott, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, okay? Let's get this down to where we live. This country was founded upon religious freedom. That you yourself, Brother Gary, would not be forced by the state to worship a certain way. You could read your own Bible or not read your Bible. You could go to church or not go to church. They hate us because of those reasons. Are we morally bankrupt? I believe we are, Brother Scott. Noah going to see any changes? You better believe he is. Has he got a mom and a daddy that's telling him, Noah, if you want to become a girl, honey, just do it. When you get old enough, Hopi, if you want to become a man, as we stand all over the house of God today, are we not in trouble as a nation?